Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gathered the Outcast Radio Ministry. In Matthew 4, we see a great battle between Jesus and the devil. And Jesus had just been anointed by his Father, and his Father declared, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And the Holy Spirit, the dove, came down out of heaven and rested on Jesus, showing those in attendance there that day that this was the Son of God, that the Holy Spirit was anointing him. And then after that took place, immediately it says in verse 1 of chapter 4 that Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterwards he was hungry. Verse 3, "Now the tempter came to him, and he said, 'If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread.' But Jesus answered and said, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God.'" And so I'm going to stop there, and we're going to glean a lesson from these first few verses right here. Number one is that Jesus was fasting so that he was preparing himself for a battle with the enemy. He was preparing himself for what he knew was coming. And he was also preparing himself not only for the battle with the devil, but he was preparing himself for the ministry that God had given him, that God had anointed him and called him to do. And God had taken him, his only begotten Son, and he had given him to the world. And it says in John 3:16 that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. And so, as God gave his only begotten Son to the world, and Jesus knew what his mission here on this earth was. His mission was to come here. He came to destroy the works of the devil. He came to destroy the power of the devil over people's lives. He came to take the sting of death away from mankind. He came to take the sting of death, and he said that he came to serve and to show us how to serve. And so I pray, beloved, that you do some fasting. If you're struggling in your Christian walk, if you're struggling in knowing your calling, if you're struggling in knowing what your purpose here on this earth is, do some fasting, do some praying, just as Jesus did. Prepare yourself for the battle. Prepare yourself for what God wants you to do. And I know that if God has a call on your life, that he will reveal it to you if you seek him. If you cry out to the Lord and you seek him, God will reveal that call to you. He will reveal your destiny to you. He will reveal it, and not only reveal it, but he will see it come to pass. He will anoint you with the blessings, the power of the Holy Spirit, just as he did his only begotten Son. And he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and give you the gifts of the Holy Spirit so you can minister not in your flesh, not in your weakness, not in your little power, but you can minister in the power of the Holy Spirit. Beloved, you don't know all of my testimony, but I want you to know there was a time when I was trapped in drugs and alcohol and all kinds of debauchery and seedy living. I was on the West Coast, and by the grace of God do I stand here before you today. By the grace of God do I speak to you today. But God raised me up. He picked my feet up and he set them on a firm foundation. And even though I had no idea what God wanted to do with me, even though I had no vision for my future, I had no hope for my future. I was at one point in time in great despair and depression, and drugs will do that to you. Alcohol will do that to you. But in that place, I had no vision for myself. Where the people have no vision, they are unrestrained, and they perish because they have no vision for themselves. They have no hope for their future. Well, that described me at one time. But if you will spend some time with the Lord, get off in the wilderness just as Jesus did, spend some time with the Lord in prayer and in fasting, God will reveal your calling to you, and he will strengthen you for the battle, and he will strengthen you and show you how can you be victorious in the battle and how you can defeat the devil and go forward with confidence into that which he has called you. Now, in verse 4, he says, but Jesus answered, and it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And that is a quotation from Deuteronomy 8:3. And Jesus was saying that the word of God sustains him more than bread. The word of God sustains him more than bread, and it will sustain you more than bread as well. Yes, we need to eat, and I don't doubt that you get hungry. I don't doubt that you like to go to the buffet lines. Everybody in America does, and we are blessed with some great buffets and some great food here in America, and we are super blessed because we have such an abundance that other people in the world don't have. But still, all that being said, the Word of God will sustain you at times when food will not. And in fact, many people in America are stuffing the Word of God. They're stuffing their calling. They're stuffing their destiny. They're stuffing it with the buffet lines. They're stuffing it with food. And so that is why we have such a problem in this nation with obesity and gluttony, which is a sin, by the way. It is because people are stuffing their calling with their fleshly desires, with the desires of their flesh. And they're not responding to what the Spirit is saying in their life. They're not responding to the call that God has on their life. And so their focus is on food, their focus is on pleasure, their focus is on satisfying their fleshly carnal nature. And Jesus just said to the devil, man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Beloved, you are an eternal being. Your spirit needs to hear from God. Your spirit needs to commune with God, communicate with God. And when you don't, when you just continually stuff that communication and stuff that call that God has on you, then you're going to be dissatisfied even with the bread that you eat. You're going to be dissatisfied with the most wonderful of buffet lines because they're not going to satisfy your deepest longings for the Lord. Well, one lesson that we can learn from this also is that when we are weak, when we are tired, and when we are hungry, that is one of the times the devil loves to come to us and tempt us. When Jesus was weak, it says he was hungry after 40 days, and the devil came to him and he said, Jesus, just turn those stones over there into bread. I know you can do it. I know you're hungry. I know you're weak. And so the devil knew his weakness. He knew where he could tempt him, where Jesus was most likely to fall and to stumble. And yet Jesus was strong, and he spoke the word of God back to the devil. And three different times, we'll be looking at two more times, two more situations where the devil tried to tempt Jesus, and every single time Jesus spoke the word of God back to the devil. And that's a lesson we can learn from this scripture, is the word of God is quick and powerful. Hebrews 4:12. It is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, able to divide asunder the soul and the spirit and the bones and the marrow, even to discern the thoughts and intents of the heart. And so the word of God, beloved, listen carefully. The word of God coming out of your mouth and nurturing your soul and nurturing your spirit, the word of God has the very same power as it does coming out of the mouth of God. The word of God, when you speak it over your life, when you speak it over your family, over your children, over your job, over your addictions, over your oppression, your despair, whatever it is that is dragging you down and keeping you from serving God, when you speak the word of God, start speaking the word over those situations and over those people and over your own life, that word has the very same power as it does coming out of the mouth of God. It is his word, but when you incorporate it into your life and you live by it, it becomes powerful in your own life for transforming you. When I look back at my own life. Again, as I told you, there was a time when I was trapped in addictions and trapped in debauchery and sinful lifestyle, and I started reading God's Word. I knew that if I didn't change, I knew that if I did not go back to the teachings of my youth, and my parents were very diligent in taking me to church and teaching me the Word of God through the Sunday school and the Bible teachings of the church. I knew that if I did not get back to that, and if I did not wholeheartedly embrace that teaching and that learning, I knew that I was going to be a dead man and I was going to be taken quickly off this earth. That's the situation that I was in. God had shaken me to my core. God had shaken me through drug addiction and through drug overdose. He had shaken me and He had shown me my death. And it came to a point when I recognized and realized that if I didn't make some changes and make them quickly, I was going to be exiting this earth and not fulfilling anything of what the Lord had planned for me. And so the devil was tempting Jesus. He took him and he tempted him in the place where he is most vulnerable at his fleshly level. He tempted him and tried to get him to turn the stones into bread. But Jesus said, "No, no, no. It is by the word of God that I will be sustained." Well, secondly, in verse 5, then the devil took him up into the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it is written, He shall give His angels charge over you. And also in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone." Well, this is the second way that the devil tempted Jesus. And he said to him, "Jesus, throw yourself off and see if God will catch you. See if God will hold you up, will bear you up, and keep your feet from stumbling and keep your feet from striking against a stone." And Jesus spoke back to the devil again. He said, "It is written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." And that is a scripture from the Old Testament again, Deuteronomy 6:16. And Jesus said, "You shall not tempt the Lord your God." Well, Jesus was wise enough to know that you cannot put God in a corner. You cannot expect God to rescue you when you make stupid and foolish decisions. And you cannot expect God to rescue you when you don't walk with the Lord and when you are put in situations that are very foolish from your own poor decisions and from your own disobedience, your own rebellion, and your own lack of communication in the Spirit with the Lord. And when you're always running off from the Lord, but then you get in trouble and you get in a place where you need the Lord, and then you cry out to the Lord, "Lord, rescue me. Lord, save me. Lord, rescue me. I'm in the corner and now I can't get out, or I'm at the top of the pinnacle of the temple, and Lord, if I jump off, will you catch me with a parachute?" When you do that, you're putting the Lord your God to the test. That's what you're doing. You're asking the Lord to perform some kind of miraculous rescue attempt, and He could probably do it in most situations. God could probably do it. But God many times will just say, "You got yourself in this situation. You put yourself here by your own rebellion, by your own running away from me." And just as the prodigal son woke up one day and he was in the pig pen, and he had run away from the Lord, he had spent his father's inheritance, he had went off to the world and sought the pleasures of the world, and then when he found himself in the pig pen and he realized that the pigs were eating better than he was, he cried out to the Lord and he said, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and I have sinned against my Father here on this earth." And he realized that he needed to go back to the teachings of his Father, that he needed to submit to his earthly Father and submit to his heavenly Father. And so when we act out in rebellion, when we act out and run from the Lord and run and run, and finally God says, "Okay, I'm going to give you all the leash you want. You can run from me as far as you want." And when you get tired of running, then the Lord says, "I will be there for you," but you cannot always just snap your fingers and get back to the Lord and have the Lord rescue you from some kind of situation. Many people make foolish mistakes. They end up in jail. They end up in prison. They end up with broken families, end up with all kinds of regrets and shame and sorrow. And it's because they have foolishly separated themselves from the Lord. And so they have to pay the consequences. Just like I'm still paying some of the consequences for the foolish decisions that I made in the past. Some of those consequences still linger with me today. But the Lord can restore to you what the locusts have eaten. That God can restore to you even what the stripping and the chewing and the gnawing locusts. And he can make it up quickly because God causes all things to work for good to those who love him and are called according to his purpose. So even when the devil tries to take you out, and even when you end up falling off the pinnacle of the temple, and you cry out to the Lord, "Lord, rescue me," God will somehow use that situation. He'll use the worst of circumstances, the worst of situations, to bring glory to him, to bring people to him. I've seen many, many men in the prison who have come to know the Lord Jesus in the brokenness and despair of living in prison and being separated from their families and have nothing to own but maybe a Bible and toothbrush. They are sold out to the Lord. They are broken. They have a broken and a contrite heart. They don't have any silver or gold, and many times their families have abandoned them, but they have what God wants them to have, and that is a love and a desire and a zeal for him that they never would have had their life not hit the rocks and had they not been in rebellion and been broken and then come back to the Lord. Well, the third situation that the devil leads Jesus into, verse 8, again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these things I will give you, Jesus, if you will fall down and worship me." And then Jesus said to Satan, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, 'You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve.'" And that's a passage of scripture from Deuteronomy 6:13, where the Lord has told the Israelites as they're preparing to go into the promised land, "You shall not serve the gods of the Canaanites. You shall not serve the gods of those pagan people that are in the promised land." God says, "I'm taking you into this land filled with milk and honey, filled with my blessings. And I'm giving you this land, and I'm not giving it to you because of your own virtue. I'm giving it to you because of the wickedness of the people who live there and that they serve and worship other gods." Well, let me tell you, brethren, that the devil will always try to get you to get your focus off Jesus and get them onto other gods to worship. He will try to get you to serve gods of other religions. He will try to get you to serve the god of secular humanism. He will try to get you to serve the god of materialism, where you will be like a rat running on the treadmill, working 24/7 trying to accumulate all the material things on this earth that this earth has to offer. And so the devil tempted Jesus in this way and said, "Jesus, if you'll just bow down and worship me, I will give you all the kingdoms of the world." And the devil is the ruler of this world. Make no mistake about that. He is the ruler of this world. If you don't believe that, just look at all the corruption and on all the money that the cartels have and all the money that the sex traffickers have and all the money that the drug dealers have. The devil is the ruler of this world. And it is so tempting for many people to serve the ruler of this world, to bow down and worship him and make a deal with the devil. Many of our pop singers have made a deal with the devil to get out there and sing lyrics that are demonic and lead many children astray, that have roots in witchcraft and occult and all kinds of demonic foundations, and they lead many children, many teenagers astray, and they have sold out their soul for the devil. Just as the devil tried to tempt Jesus and said, "If you'll bow down and worship me, I will give you all the kingdoms of the world and they are yours to have. And Jesus said, no, no, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. I'm going to close up here, and in verse 11 it says, the devil left Jesus, and angels came and ministered to our Lord. Angels came and ministered to him. The angels of the Lord will minister to you when you are in the battle, after the battle, before the battle. You pray and you ask God to give angels to bear you up. You pray to ask God to keep your foot from striking against a stone. And Hebrews 1:14 says, what are the angels but ministering spirits sent out to those who inherit salvation? And so you have ministering spirits, you have guardian angels. They will guard you, they will keep you, they will minister to you, they will strengthen you. And if you ask the Lord for more, he will be more than happy to give you more. Well, Luke 14 says it this way, when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from Jesus until a more opportune time. And so we can learn from that scripture as well that the devil will keep trying, he'll keep coming at you, he'll keep tempting you, and he is not going to give up easy. He will never give up. As long as you have breath and you are working towards the kingdom of God and you are working towards your calling and your destiny, the devil is going to keep coming at you, and he will try to tear you away from that which God has for you. As you listen to me today, I am in Africa, and we are in the Congo. We have been in Burundi and Kenya, and I'll be spending another month over here in Kenya preaching at some student kishas, some all-night prayer and worship meetings, and also some church meetings out in Mombasa on the coast. And so I ask for your prayers. If you have not made a contribution, made an offering to the Lord for this ministry and for this mission trip to Africa and for the orphanage project to Africa, I pray that you would do this today. Ask the Lord how you can participate. Ask the Lord what he wants you to give to store up your treasures in heaven and come alongside this great mission trip in Africa and this great ministry. Not that I'm boasting on myself at all, but God has opened doors for the word to go forth in Africa to bring in the harvest, and look up, for the fields are white with harvest. And so God has sent me here to help bring in the harvest, and I pray that you come alongside, partner with this ministry, and help bring the harvest in and store your treasures up in heaven as well. God bless you today. Thank you for listening. Stay tuned for contact information. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.